You're now listening to a Flawless Noises Media Network production.
Welcome, niggas, to a Ratchet Ramblings, Ratchet Reloaded mashup episode brought to you by the Flawless Noises Media Network. I am one of your hosts. I am Jeremy Mike, a.k.a. for today will be Please Keep the Divine Femininity Girls Away From Me. Thank you so much. As usual, I am joined by my friends and my niggas in crime.
Hey, everybody. It's Candace. My a.k.a. for today is she is not a spiritual healer. She is just light-skinned and broke. She is not doing no healing. She's not doing no crystal work. She don't understand that. She don't understand that tarot deck she pulling from. She just, it's the next phase before OnlyFans. And I would like to see the OnlyFans more than I would like your spiritual advice, if we're being honest.
You got a spirit
because you look like you can take dick. Oh, shimmy, shimmy, oh. Yay, shimmy, ya, shimmy.
All right. Hey, Adrian.
Hey, Adrian.
Already. Hey.
Listen, we are coming to y'all on a Tuesday. I apologize. We got lives, okay? If you even hear my voice, you probably, bitch, you sick. No, I just have been talking so fucking much in every aspect of my life. I never wanted to be bored more in my fucking life than I want to be now.
Life be life.
Life be lifing. And it's a blessing to be able to have a busy, fulfilling life and healthy, thriving kids. So I'm not even complaining. I mean, so y'all gonna get this mashup episode on a Tuesday.
True. Queen London's birthday.
It's going up.
Yeah, happy birthday, London. Happy birthday, baby girl. We love you so much. Big 7, lucky number 7. So, yep. And if y'all remember, I had London the same year we started this podcast. So that means that Ratchet Ramblings is also turning 7 this year in July. So, yeah. With that said, before we move into the shows, we're going to do a mashup episode so that you can see what we be doing behind that paywall. And then you can treat yourself and somebody you love to a subscription at the Red Noise level for $5 a month, where we are discussing the love and hip hops. We have discussed zoo shows. We're definitely thinking about bringing those baddie shows because Natalie and Jocelyn been going the fuck through it. We do all of the after lockups, love during lockup, life after lockup. Damn, your mama still locked up. So all of that. So we discuss a lot behind the paywall. Also, we are going to be pivoting the show a little bit. We're going to be moving to bi-weekly because our lineup is slowing down. There's no Love and Marriage Huntsville. There's no Bell Collective. There's no Real Housewives of Atlanta. There's no more Married to Medicine. There's no Black Ink. There's no Marriage Boot Camp. There's no Growing Up Hip Hop. The only thing still going right now is Love and Marriage DC, and it's coming to an end, and it is in fucking shambles. That show is in shambles right now. And Potomac, which they're getting ready to go into the reunion as well. And after that, it's going to kind of be radio silence, and we do not want to just be talking to talk. So we'll be coming to you bi-weekly, and we're going to pivot a little bit because Adrian made a great suggestion and said, why we don't be covering these docuseries? And we should, and we're going to. And the current docuseries that has the internet ablaze is Quiet on the Set, and it's a deep dive into just how toxic and nasty Nickelodeon was to their child stars. And so we're gonna get into that as well on April 7th. We will still continue to bring you our Ratchet Reloaded shows on the paywall. That's why I said go ahead and subscribe if you miss us, you want to hear from us, please do that. Before we go, I just want to talk about the latest Nene and Portia mess. And in my opinion, Nene is not wrong. Okay. Nene According to Candace, they offered the role on the Upshaws to several housewives, and Nene and Portia ended up securing the roles on the Upshaws, which comes on Netflix, featuring Mike Epps, Wanda Sykes, Kim Fields.
That's it for some famous people that you know.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be that about wraps that up. And when it was time for Nene and Portia to shoot, Portia didn't show up. And Nene later heard that Portia went to the production company and was like, I can't work with Nene. We've had a falling out in the past and I can't work with her. I'm not comfortable working with her and blah, blah, blah. And so Nene was like, girl, what? Considering that me and you and our Nigerian scammer boyfriend and husband was doing double dates. Nene said her and her African man was at Portia and Simon's weddings, multiple. Said they had double dated at Portia's home. When the Lanithia Leaks Lounge was open, they'd hung out there. They taking trips to Vegas together. They vacationed in Dubai together. What you mean you can't work with Nene all of a sudden? I'm with Nene. What the fuck is the problem?
Bravo. NBC Universal.
Yeah, that's what I think it is. And I think Portia is too much of a coward to say that, because Housewives is going to be her only bag, because she quit everything she was doing once she got with Simon because she thought she'd hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Portia quit radio. Portia quit Real Housewives of Atlanta. And I mean, just a very outlandishly beautiful, but plainly stupid.
Yeah. Which I get. Like, I'm not going to mess up my check if I don't have to, but you then don't put dirt on Nene to do it. Because Nene is coming back from a long time away from really any jobs or projects and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you to put it forth, oh, we've got beef. And when you say it's beef to the, especially housewife beef, that's to the point where we can't get a check together. Now you got people thinking of stuff.
Yeah. And like Nene said, she and Portia have not worked in any professional capacity in over 4 years. So that means that they have rebuilt their friendship from their spats on Real Housewives. What a way to shit on a friendship.
Yeah, because wasn't Portia just at Greg's funeral too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
even more recent than that, they were just vacationing in Dubai together.
Yeah. So, yeah, this definitely reeks of Andy's meddling. That's what that reeks of.
It does, especially when Portia claims that the reason she did that was because Nene didn't call to check on little sis when she found out about the divorce. Let me say this.
Ain't we less than a month?
And I tweeted this. If I have to find out stuff about my quote unquote friend from social media, they don't come to me directly, I'm gonna assume you didn't care if I knew about it or not, and you don't need my support or input. If the internet got it before I got it, let the internet be your support system.
Mm.
Because I am almost certain that Shamia knew that Portia was going to file for divorce.
Yep.
I am certain that Portia's close friends knew that she was going to be filing for a divorce from Simon and that it was going to hit the blog. So no, I don't believe this is about Nene not reaching out to Portia when she found out about the divorce. I do believe this is Andy meddling. Andy saying, oh, you can't do it. So you need to turn it down or you're going to sacrifice you coming back to Real Housewives and us anchoring this next season around you. And Portia made up anything instead of just throwing herself under the bus and saying, hey, I was offered another role that conflicts with this and I can't do the Upshaws. I apologize. Please keep me in mind for future endeavors.
Yeah, because lying like you and Nene got some kind of beef when we literally have seen y'all repair y'all friendship is like you said, Candace, is cowardly.
And I don't know. I think Nene, I go back and forth with thinking Nene could have handled this a better way, because from her telling, it sounds like somebody came back around to her and did kind of like a hey girl favor for her, like, hey girl, this is what's really going on. Because it seems like production just asked her, okay, do you have any problems with any housewife?
Right.
And so if somebody came and did you a solid, you giving that information could have put them in a fucked up position.
That's fair.
Also, if production was keeping the fact that you and another housewife was going to be on this upcoming season, you kind of fucked that up too. Like, so I go back and forth. I go back and forth with it.
That's
so fine. Which ultimately she ended up, Nene and Cynthia Bailey ended up doing it. And shout out to Cynthia. She's been pretty booked and busy too. She's in the new season of BMF as well.
She don't even look like Cynthia. She don't even look like herself.
No, she didn't. So booked and busy, but again, just very cowardly of Portia. I don't think this had anything to do with Simon. Nene not calling Simon, you know, amidst the news of this divorce hitting. First of all, you shouldn't be that broken up about divorcing from a motherfucker you was married to for 15 months and y'all only been together a total of maybe a year and a half. That's including dating, engagement, wedding, marriage. You not that broken up about it. Hell, before the news hit, you was just posting pictures all over social media talking about my man, my man, my man. They asked Candy, has she spoken to Portia since the news of the divorce? And Candy said the same thing. Candy was like, shit, I thought they was just mad at each other. Shit. Because she was just posting Simon all over social media.
Yeah, I think Portia, we've said this before, but Portia is very flighty. And yeah, I feel like a lot of people that are like that, when other people aren't as flighty as them, they take it personally. And it's like, beloved, maybe you need to land sometimes and roost.
Yeah.
Settle.
Oh, come on, roost.
You see me, friend? Let me in. Listen, sometimes you just need to roost, beloved. Rest.
Yes.
Like, for this sure. Way. She, like I said, she is beyond beautiful, but she is plainly stupid. That is the perfect description of Portia. And I'm not knocking you for valuing that Bravo check over a guest appearance check on a Netflix show, but you could have handled it better. You damn sure could have handled it without making it seem like Nene was a hell to work with, and this coming from another Black woman. Like, the optics just look very nasty. Like, damn, it's one thing if a white person say, oh, she's so hard to work with, but another Black woman going to production making it seem like this Black woman is so hard to work with and do business with. No, that's very nasty work, especially when y'all are supposed to be friends. So, you know, like you said, Adrian, hopefully Nene didn't fuck somebody else up for pulling her coattail to what was going on. But the smoke that she has for Portia is very valid.
Oh, yeah.
Especially over Simon, because, baby, I don't feel sorry for no fucking Portia. You was a backbiting, backstabbing, lowdown bitch to try to get to Simon. And now you done found out the grass is indeed not greener on the other side. He's a scammer. He was living high off the hog from somebody else's money. And Fallon tried to tell your ass that. You didn't want to listen. Okay? And it's crazy to me because we're talking about a woman who has been married before. We're talking about a woman who was cheated on during her pregnancy by her ex-fiance, okay? The way that she went about getting Simon, it just made me look at Portia real crazy. Right. Because you have been in the wife's shoes. You have been in the fiance's shoes and found out that your husband has done you completely dirty, or your fiance and a woman that you knew stabbed you in the back. So it's just very interesting that you think we should care about how this Simon situation is playing out. That's it. That's, you know, how I feel about that. Where do we want to go from here? Well, while we're here, let's talk about Love and Marriage DC. The actual mess that's going on social media is far more interesting than what's going on the show. I absolutely still do not care about Joy and Ashley being into it. I do feel like Carlos King and his production team are going the mile to create a villain storyline for Ashley and DJ Quick. Because like I said, if you tell me off camera, when the cameras are not rolling, that you don't fuck with me, we are not friends, there's no coming back from our disagreement. And when the cameras start rolling, you start talking about why Ashley won't just let bygones be bygones, why she keeping up mess. Bitch, you sound dumb. Like Ashley said, Joy told her when the cameras were not rolling that she don't fuck with Ashley, she don't respect Ashley, and she never will. And Ashley said, okay, fine, let's just leave it like that. When the cameras start rolling, now you want to be friends again? No, I'm not doing that. I'm not playing that game. If it's up, let it be up when the cameras is off and when the cameras is rolling.
It's just ill-founded manufactured drama. And it's a problem. Yeah. And it's a problem that some of the shows, you know, we talked about this a bit in the pregame. It's like you can tell when it's fabricated. You can tell when production is reaching. You can tell when things ain't like you were saying, like ain't up, and this is it.
I feel like Carlos King is chasing what he got organically in the first few seasons of Love and Marriage Huntsville. I believe he is chasing that same success. But the thing here is, it was organic. It happened by chance. It was not manufactured that Martell was having an affair nearly as long as he was married to Mel and fostered outside children. He lucked into that. Carlos King lucked into that.
He caught missing a bottle, if you will.
Yeah, it'll never be duplicated again, honestly. He will never get that same magic. But if he wants it, he's going to have to put on his thinking cap. The same energy he used to constantly dissect and give 145% to Bravo shows that he's no longer a part of, that's what he should be putting into these Love and Marriage shows and Bell Collective.
Yeah,
because this is very manufactured drama.
Especially Bell Collective, Jesus. I also feel like... Oh, go ahead, Ken.
No, go ahead.
I also feel like he's trying to... Like, it's... Because, like, we was talking about this in the pregame, because, like, Detroit, right, had a breakout seat. It was very, very good. I feel like he tries to... Like, whenever something has... Like you said, like, whenever something has a breakout, he tries to replicate that, but he doesn't just let it happen organically. Because I feel like, you know what it is? I feel like he doesn't trust the cast that he's assembled enough to let them just be themselves and like have the mess come naturally. He doesn't trust them enough. Like because he don't have the cast he has with like Huntsville, he is like, okay, these niggas, I don't know if these niggas gonna bring it. So let me drum it up. Let me give them this little extra nudge. And it ends up backfiring on him.
Absolutely. On social media, Jamie and Winter are into it heavily. And I don't know if we talked about this last time, but I found this out since we last recorded. The issue with Jamie, Arena, and Winter is that, according to Winter, she was at an event and a guy started talking to her and introduced himself as someone who had an affair with Arena. Winter told Jamie, like, sent them a DM, like, hey, some guy is saying that they had an affair with Arena, you know, this is his name or whatever. I'm not getting into it. I'm not carrying it back. I brought it directly to you. If you want to handle that man to man, I'm just letting you know what he's doing. And he's basically trying to get in touch with anybody that may know y'all and tell this story. I'm not saying it's true or not. They got mad at Winter for even talking to the guy and basically say, like, she was fake, she was phony, and this, that, and the third. And so that is why they're beefing. And Jamie has taken it to talking about Arena's kid. I mean, talking about Winter's children, threatening her, and all kind of shit. And so now, you know,
Jamie's a cop, ain't he?
Yeah, he act just like a cop. When
you were saying it, acting just like one.
And Winter is like trying to take legal steps and methods. And I'm like, first of all, he's a retired cop, so there's very little that they're probably going to do against one of their own. If anything, and this is why I say Carlos King spent so much time talking about Bravo shows, why aren't you stepping in and course correcting this? There is no way you should be sitting back watching a grown-ass man go at a woman like this.
But Carlos will never hold none of his men accountable, because Martell can have his walnut head ass right back on Love and Huntsville like he wasn't arrested for domestic violence, harassment, communication.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think we've said it before, and again, we may be enablers and we can hold ourselves to that standard. But I certainly have always felt for quite a while that Carlos King doesn't really care for Black women. He certainly puts them in a space where relationships have ups and downs, but I don't ever think he has really held these men's feet to the fire. And he's sat around and watched them be nasty and be unkind to the women that they're on these shows with. We've seen it with Huntsville, with the way that Marceau has dealt with Mel and how Martell has treated Mel and so on and so forth. And so to me, this is just another instance of you have more invested in shows not yours than your actual shows. Even on Bell Collective, there was no way he should have been comfortable knowing Glenn had a bug and shit in a tracking device on Letitia's car.
So I think it's one or two things. I think either it's A, he's picking people, guys that he's attracted to, and so that creates a blind spot for him with these things. Because I don't want to say it's him trying to separate himself from his gayness, but being like, oh, I can be cool.
One of the boys.
I can be one of the cis men, or I don't know how I'm trying to say it. So I hope when people hear it, they're not offended, but it's just like he's buying into all the toxic masculinity just to kind of other himself. Like, oh, I'm not like one of those gays.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know what? Yep. I don't doubt that at all.
So I let the kind of the violence that you guys inflict on women kind of go. Even when y'all do that, I'm coddling you at reunions about how I want you to do better, yet you're never putting men in positions to be accountable to do better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Martell alone, like, that's before you even get to any of the rest of the men. Like, just Martell alone. How in the world that this your network, you the head honcho, and you have Martell, and like nothing has happened to this nigga. This nigga is allowed to not only still be on the show, he's allowed to say whatever the fuck you want. You don't fact check them. You don't. And if you do, like you said, Adrian, it's very like slap on the wrist at best. Like,
it's very come nuzzle my chest while I rub your back and tell you you've been a bad boy.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know about the version of Black Love that he's trying to show us. Because I can't pick a good couple out of any, like, out across all of the shows that I'm like, yeah, that's something I would aspire to. Besides the therapist and his wife, Dr. Francis and his wife, but that's it.
And that's why Dr. Francis ain't been back on since.
He sure hasn't.
I don't care about Joy and Clifton. I think they are playing the game. I wish Ashley would not play into it, but I'm always reminded that Ashley is absolutely a girl from DC through and through, and she just wears her feelings on her sleeve. This is her first time doing reality TV where Joy and Clifton are kind of vets, and they've done Ready to Love. And I think there were some other attempts at reality TV on both their ends. Clifton has been married four times. Like, I think Joy is his fourth wife and shit like that. Like, they are well-versed in trying to play the game to get a check. And I don't think that Ashley and Quick necessarily need the check, so they're not willing to play that same game. Ashley and Quick own multiple restaurants, multiple nightclubs. He's still on radio. Ashley's book has done well. She has an online boutique. They certainly have gotten to the bag before reality TV, so they don't care about being on reality TV. And according to Ashley, she will not be returning to Love and Marriage DC. After this season. She said, you know, she doesn't care for the editing, and she doesn't care for the way that Carlos allows the men to be, like we just said, Adrian, allows the men to treat the women. The standard for respect definitely should be that men should not be trying to bully on women. And he just kind of allows it, and he sits quietly while he tries to act like he's still a part of Bravo. So she says she will not be, and I don't blame her. Winter said the same thing. She says she will not be back as either. So again, it begs the question, why are you putting all this effort into these Bravo shows? You've interviewed the whole cast of Married to Medicine, And you've not done one sit down with your own cast and crew about what's currently going on these goddamn shows.
Probably because he's afraid that they'll rip him a new one.
Yeah. That, and Carlos always seems like, he seems like him and the channel had a breakup and now he's trying to flaunt another bad bitch in front of the network so the network can want him back.
And the whole time, Andy don't give a fuck.
Mm-mm. Andy taking lines. Never mind.
He definitely Andy snorting them. Andy snorting cocaine, getting drunk, and offering dick to them these women's husbands. He don't give a fuck about own and Love and Marriage Huntsville and nothing else. And I'll be honest, no show on OWN can go toe-to-toe with the worst show on Bravo. Love and Marriage Huntsville could in its first 2 to 3 seasons. It cannot currently.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, in its heyday, yes, but not now.
No, not now. It cannot.
And that's your flagship.
Real Housewives of Potomac.
Speaking of the worst shows.
Very slow season. Very anticlimactic. This crab boil that Charisse had where she lost her cool and was yelling at Robin and Candace. I just want to say this. Robin, to me, is the worst kind of coward in that she does a lot of complaining about the same shit she does. She sent text messages between her and Candace to a blogger, but has complained incessantly for the past couple seasons about Candace always discussing them and their issues on social media. You are the same type of evil. You did the same thing with Monique, called her all types of aggressive, but was threatening to beat people's ass with umbrellas and shit.
North remembers.
I just want Candace to stop begging this woman for an apology. Stop trying to be her friend. She doesn't care. Her loyalty is with Giselle. Always has been and always will be, and she needs to face the fucking music and move on.
So I gotta ask you, do you think part of that is Candace actually trying to be friends with Robin, or is production telling her to? Because remember, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, finish what you were saying.
Because like, I'm seeing this and I'm just in here like, but Candace, you were one of the main vocal components, you know, granted you were and still are ridiculous, but like in the earlier seasons before Monique left, like you were one of the main ones of like seeing Robin and Giselle for what they are, what they can dish and don't but can't take, and like how evil and vile they are. So it's like just seeing you trying to beg this woman for accountability in a fostership, it just feels like, is this the same Candace, or is this production telling you to do this? And I can't tell.
I think Candace wants a level of accountability from Robin that she will never get. Because Robin doesn't think she did any wrong. Robin doesn't think that she had a hand in what Giselle did regarding Chris. And what I will say is this. I do not think that Giselle and Robin sat down and discussed the plan to make it seem that Chris was being inappropriate with Giselle and to get the heat off of Juan. What I think happened is once Robin realized that that's where the focus was at, she had no problem letting it stay there. That's where I think Robin is wrong at. Once she realized that this was going to be the focal point, that this was going to be the main point of contention between main cast members, she was like, well, as long as they arguing, they ain't in my business.
I agree with that. Yeah. It was what I always say, as long as we talking about you, we ain't got to talk about me.
Correct.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's what I think that was. Other than that, no, I don't think Robin was like, yeah, let's just say Chris was being inappropriate, forced you in a room, yada, yada. Yeah, I don't think it was any of that. I just think once she realized, you know, it took the focus off of her, she was like, all right, fuck it.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Which is still wrong, to be fair, but it's not like a conspiracy.
Yeah, I agree. I'm with Wendy here when it comes to Giselle's father. First of all, I just want to say that nobody said that Giselle's father had cancer or was on his deathbed. They said he was in the hospital having surgery, and I agree with Wendy. I don't give a fuck about anything regarding Giselle. This is the same woman that says she did not care about Mia assaulting her because she don't like her. She don't care what happened to her. When Wendy's mom was in the hospital, no Robin nor Giselle reached out to Wendy to see how her mom was doing. They did not care. They treat anything pertaining to Wendy like it's a pain in their ass and they'd rather not deal with it, hear about it, be bothered with it. So yeah, I am okay with every piece of energy Wendy returned to them this season, because Giselle has never given anyone on that show an ounce of grace, sympathy, or empathy aside from Robin. The North remembers how y'all were showing up to Karen's fundraiser for her parents in honor of her parents for Alzheimer's and things like that. And y'all were showing up to argue with Monique and argue with Karen and shit like that. The North remembers that when Karen's parents had passed away, y'all were hell bent on making Karen's life a living hell that season.
You remember season them damn shirts. Exact.
We remember those damn shirts. Y'all have never given Karen an ounce of grace, never given Candace an ounce of grace. Damn sure never gave it to Monique. Tried not to give it to Mia, but Mia don't give a fuck. Mia knows she's a liar. Mia knows she's goofy and she's in it to fucking win it. But Giselle has never been graceful. When she feels like having her claws out, she's gonna go for blood every fucking time. And I wish people would be so very honest about that. Wendy doesn't owe Giselle shit.
Nobody does, honestly.
I think Wendy was nice even showing up to that whack-ass fashion show. Ashley and Giselle designing clothes and having a clothing line is like me being somebody's personal trainer. Baby, I just started losing this weight.
Well, I can't tell you a goddamn thing. Losing weight. Them bitches ain't got no experience with fashion.
Imagine
a motherfucker who always looked like they just jumped in a Goodwill aisle design a fashion. I know you fucking lying to me.
Big lying.
Ashley always looked like she smelled like spit. Giselle is always like over the top, but with no type of scent. Like, I don't know what it is. I'm not a fashion girly either, but
I get what you're saying. It's like, how you over the top but still tacky?
And you don't even do tacky well. Like, there are people that are tacky, but it's like, oh, it's tacky, but it's cute for them.
Right. It ain't even cute for her.
Mm-mm. I do not, you know, have anything. I don't feel a way. I think Wendy has handled this impeccably. They have tried to ice her out this group repeatedly and they can't. And, you know, it is what it is. And also, I just want to say, it is so crazy to me that Ashley spent all that time married to a multimillionaire and never got them damn bunions on her feet taken care of. Mm. They quite literally have corrective procedures for bunions.
Maybe she wanted the bunions to match her forehead.
Mm. A bow head, if you will.
Write that down.
Also, they have been showing clips for the season finale with this fight with Kiarna and Deborah. And it, to me, and I'm probably piecing shit together improperly, but on the outside looking in, now it's starting to make sense why Ashley was posting all them cryptic ass could potentially be farewell videos on social media, because it seems like Ashley set it up for Deborah to come in and try to fight Candace, because Ashley was asking like, are the cameras not rolling anymore? Next thing you know, you hear Deborah trying to get Candace's attention. And Candace like, girl, get out of my face, Sesame Street. And then the fight happened. And I just feel like, again, this is why there needs to be checks and balances with Andy and with Bravo. Because it, to me, I enjoy reality TV. I enjoy mess, but it should not be anything goes. Especially when it comes to inviting somebody who falsely accused someone's partner of being inappropriate and misconduct. They should not be allowed to come around anymore. Just like if Chris had actually been inappropriate with Deborah, I would have expected him to be let go from the show. We know that wouldn't have been the case because Michael Darby was still on there. But those type of allegations and things, they shouldn't fly in either direction.
Agree. I also imagine just bringing somebody on the show to beat somebody else up because you can't fight, or try to beat them up because you can't fight.
And they still get beat up.
Crazy. Crazy.
She might have brought that Sesame Street face, but she damn sure didn't bring no monster hands.
She could have brought a
bitch. Definitely ain't Cookie Monster. She definitely, you might look like animal, but you ain't got his energy.
Should have brought you a brick from Sesame Street. Something.
You bring me on a show and I get my ass whooped, I gotta whoop your ass. Somebody's ass gotta get whooped. I'm sorry.
Not rapper ass whoopings.
I mean, you bring me to fight somebody and then I get my ass. No. I gotta fight somebody to feel better.
I feel like Ashley wants Candace to feel the level of embarrassment, which is why she brought Deborah around and played into that whole Chris was inappropriate, was handsy shit. I actually want somebody to feel the level of embarrassment that she has felt season after season once Michael has been labeled as inappropriate, handsy, and kind of assaulty.
And it's
because like, that is their history on this show. We can go back and see footage of your husband saying he would suck another man's dick.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Megamind, but you chose to stay by that motherfucker.
Yeah.
Like, you made a conscious choice. And the North Rim was going on literal, what was it? Was it CNN, Candace, or was it Fox? It was one of them damn networks going on, literally going on there with him. But like, oh, these allegations are 100% false. My husband would never. You chose to do that, Megamind. You chose to do it. So now
that,
you got
to. And then you chose to let the Crypt Keeper crawl on top of you and impregnate you twice.
Twice?
So, yeah, not once, but twice.
Dose.
Well, I ain't got
just
nothing
a real
you.
Stinking ass bitch, man.
Mm. You know, I think that summarizes it quite nicely, friend. Sometimes it's simple, just a stinking ass bitch.
Yeah, you just a stinking ass bitch, man. That's all I got to say about that.
With a hair like a coral reef.
I tell you what, a big water tank head.
Mm. Septic tank head.
That's empty. That motherfucker big and empty.
No thoughts.
You can hear
lines.
You can hear lint blowing in there. But you know, that's where we're at. What you was gonna say, Adrian?
Good luck. Had a luck you deserve.
Have the luck you deserve. Not even good luck. The luck you deserve.
That has been my like favorite thing to say to people now. I heard somebody say it, and they said, have the day you deserve. And I'm like, I like that.
Yes.
Because you're telling them to go to hell, but you're not telling them to go to hell. And I like that. I like nice, nasty.
Same. So, Married to Medicine Reunion Part 2. Yes, I know we are recording after Part 3, but we will cover Part 3 next week. Because, I mean, not next week, but the next time we record, because why not?
True.
Here's the thing. I do not care about Sweet Tea, honestly, in no form or fashion. And I don't. Okay, fine. Fuck it. Sweet Tea knew she had some issues that could possibly prevent her from bearing children
Let's talk.
Greg. She knew it, and she sold that man a dream. And I feel like the only thing saving her behind right now from a ton of his vitriol and abuse is that those cameras be around. That's what I believe.
And he already has a history, a documented
and
history.
He already has a history of being controlling and a documented history of being abusive physically. I definitely believe when those cameras stop rolling, it's hell time in that goddamn house between Greg and Sweet Tea.
Oh, absolutely.
She knew, even if she didn't know specifically what she had, she knew that there was something going on reproductively, and she still sold that man a dream. And now, you know, I just wonder, I hope that she sticks around, because I would like to see how long they stay married, honestly.
I think it's even nastier because, correct me if I'm wrong, like, wasn't how we were introduced to her with some of the supplementary material on social media that, like, she jumped in Greg's DMs?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She jumped in his DMs.
I can give you what you want.
I can give you what you want and what you need.
I can be better than Quad. Like, wasn't that damn near a bar for bar?
Yeah, for sure it was.
Yeah. Oof.
And that's why I have sympathy and empathy, but it only extends so far because you didn't have no business being nasty like that. If you liked Greg, you could have said, "I can give you what you want," and left it at that.
Yeah, I mean,
why are you mentioning his old work? If you trying to be his new work, why are you mentioning his old work?
Ooh, that's a word. Say it again, friend.
While living in his old work's house
that she worked on.
Oh, this is nice. This is nice. I wish I would. I'd have told him as soon as the ink is dry on that, we got to get a contractor in here. At the least. At the very least.
At minimum.
Nah, yeah, I feel it. It's one of those things where, like, the entire situation around Sweet Tea is messy. And let's just be honest. It's because of her. Like you said, like, for whatever godforsaken reason, if you actually liked Greg, I don't know why, but if you actually liked him, you could have just shot the shot without the extra shit. But you, and that's another thing that gets lost and I don't see people bring up. And conveniently, because, you know, they don't like Quad, which, you know, hey, fair, you know, Quad definitely annoying as fuck, so I get it. But, like, literally that woman jumped in Greg's DMs to try to be better than Quad. Like, she brought that shit up. She went after that man, despite his history, despite knowing how fucking controlling and abusive and manipulative he is, knowing how he treated Quad, bringing her up, like, she sought that out. So, yeah. Like, when people talk about, like, how Quad is weird in regards to Greg and Sweet Tea, I get it, and I don't necessarily disagree, but that shit goes two ways. Quad didn't start that.
How is she weird?
The other part is, you came on this fucking show that was her stomping ground, and now I can't talk about you?
You when come you to went my out job and tell me I can't hired. Have company potato salad?
Company potato
Like, you went out of your way to come to my job, get hired,
yeah,
and now you want to act like I done did you something wrong. Oh, bitch, listen.
Yeah, that's one of those things where I just chalk it up to, like, people just don't like Quad. And again, I get it. I'm not saying you can't dislike Quad, because she's not perfect. But, like, we also need to be for fucking real. Like, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to hate for real.
Have a real reason.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for cleaning that up, friend. Like, if you go, hey, have a real reason.
And it's because I just don't think, I think Sweet Tea biggest thing is she knows that Greg would rather have had Quad back. Like, Sweet Tea is a consolation prize. That's what I believe. So, you know. This thing with, like, Phaedra and Greg and his $4,000. Who cares? Y'all are trying to have a moment because Phaedra didn't have no fucking storyline. Ultimately, Phaedra did not end up fucking Greg, sleeping with Greg, being Greg woman or nothing else. Ended up being friends with his ex-wife. Nobody gives a fuck what could have happened. We don't care.
And it's a little disrespectful for him to talk about, well, maybe I should have gave her the $4,000.
Yeah.
And I'm your wife sitting there? Mm-mm.
Yeah, I agree. Nothing was better than part one of this reunion. I don't understand why Apollo was here. I think it's smoke and mirrors. I think Phaedra did what she needed to do to keep throwing people off the path that she is not, in fact, dealing with a doctor. She is not partnered to medicine. She really had no reason to be on this show, according to Toya. She's not married to medicine. Why is she here? There was never a doctor. And the best way to do that is, oh, hey, let me bring my ex-husband on. We had a huge controversial breakup and subsequently he ended up going to jail. Let me bring him out as fluff.
Now, you it's know definitely... Phaedra is good for a stunt and a show.
Yeah, and that's exactly what that was, a stunt.
She then got Apollo a little check, maybe.
This whole happy co-parenting thing, I don't believe it. Apollo has a wife. If your wife doesn't speak to your ex-wife doesn't speak to your current wife, they do not have a relationship, y'all are not happily co-parenting, and y'all are not a blended family, and I want y'all to give it up. And it's fucking weird considering Apollo has children with his new wife as well. Y'all know my theory. Apollo took that fall for Phaedra, and he is patiently waiting to collect on whatever she owes him, or he's gonna tell it all.
Well, if that's his plan, he might as well get to tell him now. Cause Phaedra's slippery and slick. She church slick. He ain't never gonna see that money. It's always gonna be another little string along. Well, why don't have it all now? But I can get you this. I can get you on the reunion, and they'll pay you this to be on the reunion. I know it's not a scam when I see one.
Hello.
So if you got something to say, say it now.
Yeah.
Do a Cassie. Spill everything in. Get your money.
For sure.
Spill the tea and the commas.
So Love and Hip Hop Miami. What brothel did they drag Estelita from? Like, where the fuck did she come from? We haven't seen Estelita since Stevie replaced Jocelyn with her on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
Right.
Yeah, see, she explained that. She said she been with her sugar daddy.
Oh, she did? Sure, I missed that.
She definitely be selling pussy. And again, that's how I know Shay be selling pussy. Because Estelita and Shay was friends. Pussy sellers of a feather sell pussy together.
Not you saying she's responsible for all them pussy and bio tweets. It's the leader in bio.
Well, hey, if this inheritance thing is any is real shit, she played it smart.
Yeah. I mean, fast.
Yeah.
I mean, as smart as she can play that type of situation, because I do not, I'm not, yes, as smart as she can play that position.
Right.
If she got an inheritance.
Yeah, we picking up what you're putting down, friend.
For sure.
Like she put it down.
Pussy, manage it properly.
What Curtis used to say, pussy payments.
Yep, pussy payments. So listen, Shay's mama and somebody did a number on Shay.
Well, we know it was Shay's mama partially because she was on Iyanla telling us that.
Because this girl got back with this nigga after he was MIA while she was having to terminate a pregnancy. She had to go through the first pregnancy by herself. She had to go through that baby having health complications by herself. And when the going got easy again, he popped back around with the cheapest Tesla you could find. She get pregnant again. He ain't nowhere to be found. She terminate the pregnancy. She got to go through that by herself. Now you back together. I just want to understand, like, when do y'all really go sit on this lady couch? Because that man don't like you. He like fucking you. He like how freaky you are. He like how you look. So niggas be like, damn, your bitch bad. But he don't like you. He don't want to be a family with you. He don't want to raise that baby with you. He want to get his dick wet and go. He want a dick and dip.
Have we seen what his family in Milwaukee look like?
No.
Hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if she never met his mama.
No, I mean family, like, because didn't he have a wife?
Oh, that's right. Or a fiance or another baby mama or something. I'm not even sure.
He has another family. He has more kids. I'll say it like that. Now, what the arrangement is, because Estelita said it in this episode that while Shay was pregnant, he had a wife in Miami.
Right.
That's why she don't want to be friends with Estelita no more.
Mm-hmm. Well, Shay and Estelita get into it at a party Shay has celebrating her business. And Estelita shows up ready to squabble because Shay is calling her a scammer. Then Shay ends up telling everybody that Estelita sell pussy. And newsflash, anybody with two eyes can see that. She was fucking Stevie J. We know he only liked to pick up escorts and strippers.
And not only that, Shay, didn't you have a sex tape?
Damn.
He sure did. I didn't
get to see that.
No, you wouldn't.
Imagine shaming somebody for selling pussy when you got a sex tape. That's crazy. That's a crazy level of cognitive niggerness.
I just want to ask, like, okay, so I understand that Trick and Trina is like Miami legends, right? Mm-hmm. It might even be hip hop legends. Don't get me wrong. They got classics. But I just want to know who keep asking them to put together shows in 2024 when neither of them have any new music out.
I'll take it a step further. I would like to know, because artists people do ask for, like, you know, legacy performances from artists and legends and, you know, elder statesmen, but like when only
elder statesman is crazy.
when only one and a half of them gives a damn about it, like, I just don't understand. Cause like, and again, I know we said this last time, but I would never in a million years, like, if you asked me 10 years ago who would have the better business acumen between Trick Daddy and Trina, and I would have to say Trick Daddy, I would have called you a liar. But like, when only one of them actually respects the craft of being an elder statesman, why must you keep trying to book them both to perform when only one of them gives a damn?
Right.
And thinks they are too good to have the business acumen that made them an elder statesman in the first place.
Correct.
I don't know, but Trina need to get off this show because I dislike her, and I don't want to dislike Trina at all.
I dislike her a lot. She is not.
She doesn't likeable. Make herself very likable
at all
on this show.
She's not likable at all.
Which is kind of which. Remember that first season, like how she portrayed herself and like the dichotomy between like her and Bobby. Well, like she was, you know, I am Trina and I'm, you know, professional and reserved and da 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 da, and I'm not with the foolishness, da 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 da. And Bobby, like, she was ashamed of Bobby because of how Bobby act. Now fast forward. It's like, girl, Bobby damn show your cousin, because y'all are more yeah. like than you like to believe.
But you know what I always said, we would see Trina's true colors if she stuck around long enough.
And lo and behold.
Because there's no way Joy your motherfucking cousin and she's still married to fucking Trick Daddy, happily dating and still fucking married. Bobby your cousin, his foundation don't never fucking match. And you want us to believe you don't got none of that same shit with you? Girl, good fucking night. Right. And you 50 fucking years old and can't be on time no fucking where. She the worst kind of bitch to me. I wouldn't be bothered with Trina. I'm going to be honest here. I wouldn't be bothered at all.
I'm on Spicy Brown.
Come on, Spicer, bro. Oh, damn. What?
My bad.
No, I looked on Trina age because Candace said it. Because I didn't want, like, damn, she really 50? She damn, she might as well be. She 45. She close to it.
Hello?
Now I'm a little close to 45 for that joke.
Yeah, but you're also not late to every fucking thing, and you're not sitting around making really nasty comments about Haitians.
True.
While you set up and was cool with a white woman saying nigga in your presence.
True. Trick Daddy is 49. I don't believe that.
Huh?
49 what? In
that years? The monkey hair on
we doing leap. We do a leap year on the 29th, and that's why I work.
No, that bag of monkey hair is at least 53. And that's being generous.
Y'all can't see it, but the way as soon as I said that, Adrian came off mute.
Yeah.
Ooh, shit, that was the quickest I beg your nigga ass pardon I ever seen. Listen, according to Google, he is 49. I don't know who Google talked to, but that's what they say. It's he 49.
Yeah, no, he not nobody's 49.
Maybe if you reverse that, if you say 94, then yes. But a 4 and a 9 in the numerical sense, I don't believe you.
Yep.
So he's 4 years older than Trina.
Yeah, that's what they say.
How old was Trina when she came out? You know what? We ain't even gonna go down this rabbit hole because I'm gonna just go with my mind that nigga that she was underage.
Hold on.
I think she was only like 17, something like that.
Hold on, wait a minute.
4 years to 17? That's 21.
Hold on, wait a minute. This okay, so listen, maybe not America, but somebody might have been cooking about data breach, man. Not the U.S. government, but somebody might have been cooking because Google is trying to tell me that Trick Daddy and Kaya are 49 and 47, respectfully. All right, man. All right. Let me get off here because clearly somebody playing in my fucking face. Who? 40 who? All right, man.
I'm going to be honest. That doesn't surprise me.
I think it's time to ask Jeeves because I don't think Google got what we need.
Bring back G. Listen, Jeeves never let me down.
Yeah, no. Okay, I wanna wrap shit up with Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, because first things first, what is the point in being in a relationship with somebody if you don't take their concerns seriously? And I'm talking about Zell Swag and Saucy Santana. Saucy Santana said his issue with Zell Swag is that when Zell goes out, he doesn't answer his phone. And Zell said it's because he knows that Saucy Santana doesn't like the company he keeps and he doesn't feel like arguing. If my partner truly, truly had an issue with my group of friends because every time we're out together, I end up in some shit, end up in jail, the police end up getting called, I would certainly take that seriously. And why aren't you as an adult taking that seriously? Why are you constantly with people who end up in those type of situations? You are hanging with Erica Mena, who was just calling Spice a bag of monkeys. Mm. And what? I'm going to be honest. I always thought Saucy Santana was too good for Zell Swag. I feel like he has way too much potential to be slumming it.
Come on, slumming it.
Yeah, for sure. He can do better.
Nah, like I'm gonna be so for real. I really do not see why Zell keeps coming on our TV screens. Like, he adds nothing. He didn't really add much on Hollywood. He didn't add much on, what was the other show he was on? He was on something else, not that wasn't Love and Hip Hop related. Was it one of the marriage shows, Candace? Was one of the boot camp shows? It might not have been for marriage, but it was on like another boot camp show. Something he was on.
I don't remember at all.
Something else he was on. He didn't add much on that. Like, they moved him around different, you know, locations within the Love and Hip Hop franchise. I think he like just appeared in New York at one point when he was still isolated from everything else. It's like he brings nothing. The only time I think I really enjoyed him, I remember back in the day when we was covering Hollywood, when he would drag what's her name? Shit. The one with the big feet. Fuck.
Oh,
Masika.
Yes. Like, when he had some zingers for her, I did chuckle. But other than that, he brings nothing.
I chuckled when him and Mr. Ray was into it all the time.
Yeah,
also that.
Because he used to be on Mr. Ray ass. He used to call that man all types of big backs.
Yes. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and I remember when he punched Mr. Ray in the fucking face. Yeah, I remember that. But other than that, like, I feel like his moment has come and gone. Like, we don't need him around, and Mona keeps insisting on bringing him around.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, I looked them up. Like, what music is Zell making? I want to know so I can never listen
to
it. No,
I don't. I don't want to know.
I
don't want to see that.
I need to know what
Zell makes Zeus music.
He makes Zeus intro music. That's what he makes.
He does. You can't see him making something?
No, I absolutely. But I need to know what music he's making so I can blacklist it. That's what I need to know.
Now, you might blacklist a bop. See?
Now, speaking of a bop, Saucy Santana, Zell threw Saucy Santana a birthday party, and Young Jock and Kendra came after Young Jock made some comments about how he wouldn't be comfortable performing in front of a crowd of gay men because they might be looking at him lustfully. And I just want to be honest. Have you seen you? Have you looked in the mirror? Like, have you truly, truly
baby,
looked in the mirror?
Kendra don't look at you lustfully, baby. They are definitely not.
Like, you are lucky a woman as fine as Kendra has low self-esteem and wants to be with you. Have you seen you?
Have you seen that swoop ball?
Have you seen that Miss Netta ass skin on your nose? Charles, your cystic acne is ready.
I hate you, Kendra.
Have you looked in the... Do you remember when you was walking around looking like Anita Baker, but if she had a bitch Stewie version?
Caught up in the rapture going down.
Caught up in the rapture of a perm.
And I, with 50 little kids, I don't know why you trying to turn down any check.
What, hey, you are
wasn't
ugly.
You driving an Uber a couple of years ago?
Yes.
You might want to get in.
First of all,
you need all the friends
notion,
income you have.
The notion that gay men don't have standards is very crazy to me, considering gay men really do be with other fine ass gay men or men that's not out the closet. And to be honest, that really ain't our business. But that's a conversation for another day. You're ugly. And at one point in time, you were wearing what could be considered very feminine hairstyles.
Right?
Like that's over there looking like Frankie Lyman.
Like, that's the thing for me. Like, one,
why I do hate... fools keep fucking you?
Why do Showtime?
Why that Showtime. Is the Showtime?
Showtime.
Why do fools keep fucking you? This is why I never hate reality TV.
But like, I hate the trope that so many straight men play, where it's like they act like they're so uncomfortable around queer people or just people in the community because now I don't want them, you know, looking at me. Like, first of all, like you were saying, Candace, a lot of y'all should be grateful somebody is looking at you, number one. Number two,
because who the fuck is you?
Right. Number two, like, you do realize just because someone is attracted to you, that doesn't mean you have to fuck them, right? A lot of y'all niggas are attracted to women who would never give you the time of day. That don't... So, like, what are we even doing here?
Can we get to the root?
Talk about it.
Men that hold views like Jock does not, like, feels uncomfortable in those situations because they know how they treat women in those situations.
Talk about it.
Mm.
Especially
when
a nigga like
that. When they are in the presence of somebody they deem attractive, they feel entitled to them.
Yes.
Yep.
And don't know how to act. Yep.
And you think that gay men lack the same level of self-control that you do as a straight man?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Because I remember, now granted, he said this one good thing and then turned around and said some real stupid shit about trans people. But hell, Tank, eloquated that very beautifully when he was, you know, questioned, like, why don't you have any problem performing in front of gay men? Because he was like, nigga, they my fan. Why am I going to disrespect and not perform around for people who pay money to see me enjoy my music just because of their sexual identity? That's stupid.
I also want to say, you don't really have enough hits to be talking like that.
Also that, like, you are a Georgia nigga at, I don't want to say best, but definitely your biggest hits is around the South. So you damn sure not an international nigga, I'll tell you that much.
He got an EP worth of hits, and that's being generous.
Because, like, I'm going to be real. As a nigga growing up, especially in the country and the South, I'm not saying niggas didn't play you, but niggas damn sure will gravitate more towards Gucci and Jeezy than some fucking Young Jock. I'll tell you that for goddamn.
For sure. For sure. You've stretched that 15 minutes way longer than you had to by having a radio career and such. Nobody gives a fuck. I don't even, I mean, honestly, show me the gay demand for you in performing. Where's the gay demand for a Young Jock performance? Where's the gay demand for Meet Me in the Trap is going down? There is none. And you're not going to make me believe there is. Because when you would have got on that stage, them motherfuckers would have started booing and hissing. Like, give it a fucking break. Speaking of give it a fucking break, you bitches is doing a lot over little Scrappy. That dick must touch y'all's soul. Because, baby, I do not... Like, the ink on them goddamn divorce papers ain't dry yet, and Diamond trying to fight fucking Erica.
For the love of Scrappy.
That slightly illiterate dick must be fucking nominal. That dick must be good.
Either that or the self-esteem is very low. Well, it might be both.
That dick must be the shiznai.
Well, we know it's not the music.
Carly Red and Spice. So if I say what I'm really thinking about Spice, y'all gonna wonder where I was at on January 6th.
Jesus Christ.
Y'all are gonna be like, what was you doing January 6th? Where was you located?
Jesus Christ.
Because I just feel like you have put 10 on 2 for a very long time with this Carly situation. You have continued to lie about these health issues. I believe every health issue that Spice is having is related to elective cosmetic and plastic surgery.
Yeah.
And she refuses to be honest about that. I don't think Carly did anything so outlandish that she should have tried to put her hands on Carly unprovoked. I absolutely agree with Carly that, yeah, I don't want to fucking be around somebody who think they could just put their hands on me because we in disagreement. Especially when Carly wasn't really doing nothing out the way to Spice. Spice allows Shekinah and her homegirl to get in her head about Carly, and she ran with it and subsequently ended up putting her hands on Carly unprovoked. And now you don't want to be seen as violent. You did that to your fucking self. You made the decision to put your hands on that goddamn girl. Now you mad at the picture that's being painted. I don't like a bully who want to be a victim. You cannot be both. You were being a bully. You knew that Carly couldn't fight, and you knew that she wasn't trying to fight you, and you still took it there. Now you saying, oh, she's trying to act like I'm violent. Yeah, you are in her eyes. Yeah, that's certainly it. That's the picture that you painted.
I mean, the thing for me is that this conflict could have been resolved with just a simple conversation. Like, it didn't need to get to that point. Like,
It was.
even like I, you know, I like even I don't think Carly did anything like crazy out the way, but I can understand still being kind of annoyed. But like, that's you're adults and you're supposed to use your word. Like, your fists are reserved for people who truly wrong you and put your hand and provoke you first, which Carly didn't do that. So I don't understand, like, you're upset about the solution when you created the problem.
Correct. And again, Carly was certainly weird for buying a house in a Spice neighborhood and not telling her. That's some weirdo shit. But this shit with the surgery and Carly not telling people what was going on and all that kind of shit and respecting her privacy, that could have been straightened out with a conversation.
Yeah, it didn't need to come to this. Another thing, you know, and I've been saying this a minute, like Spice annoying as fuck lying about these damn surgeries when girl, we can see it. Like, we can see that this shit is taking a toll on your body, literally and figuratively. Like, girl, we got eyes.
We got eyes. We can see. We can see.
Like, you try to dirty wine and then you end up in urgent care. Like, we can see.
Oh my. Like I'm just, you ain't got a lot of kick it.
You ain't got the lie to kick it, Spice. You ain't got the lie.
You really don't. You don't gotta lie. And DC's Yandy, the Brat, and Judy. I'm not getting no advice from a lesbian who owe another woman another woman money for hitting her over the head with a bottle.
She still ain't paid off that.
No.
Damn.
And we can be honest here that I understand that this is a sticky situation, sticky conversation. It's complex, it's not easy. However, the insistence that this child is biologically Yandy's and she's giving her child up and so on and so forth. It's kind of rubbing me the wrong way. It is. Now, it's not, I definitely feel like that Yandy and her cousin have not thought this through because her cousin cannot even afford to do this fucking process on her own. Like, if somebody else said, here, you can have my egg because your cousin's husband is tripping, she still can't afford the whole egg retrieval process, the implantation process. She doesn't have a sperm donor picked or anything. So I definitely believe the idea is half cocked for those reasons. But tying all this together that, oh, that child will have Yandy's DNA, that child would be biologically related to Yandy no matter how you cut the cloth. Like, even if her cousin could get pregnant on her own, Yandy would share DNA with that child. And if this is a gift that she wants to bestow to her cousin, I'm okay with that, just with the details fleshed out better. And again, why are y'all taking advice and having conversations about this with everybody but a fucking professional, of fucking doctors who specialize in fertility? The brat can't hardly read.
All right.
But
Judy
didn't
on
they
so
have that
much on Zempic,
conversation? I'm sure Judy's bowels have been arrested. She on so much
Oh,
goddamn
shit.
Ozempic. We don't need y'all's advice on shit. Go ahead, Adrian.
I said, I feel like didn't they go to a specialist? And that's when we found out the extra thing that her cousin can't carry either. I don't think there's going to be any amount of professional. Yandy just got to make a decision that either I'm going to do this against the wishes of my husband, possibly, or I'm not going to do it. But keep playing, going to different people to get their input on it. It's not changing anything.
Correct.
So she need to just make her decision and stick by it. Hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to finance this. This is where the money is coming from. It's my, you know, it's the savings that I have or whatever. And just go from there, because he's not gonna go for it. He's not gonna buy into it. So at this point, you just got to make a decision. Or it seems like you really don't want to do it anymore. Like you thought you did, but you really don't want to do it. So if you get it on record that Medici's was so against it, people will understand you saying, "Well, my husband wasn't comfortable, so I couldn't."
Right. No, I agree. I just, you know, it's. Like you said, it's kind of annoying. Do what you want to do for your cousin. Ultimately, it's your egg. Mendici sperm is not being used. Y'all are not creating this child together. Do what it is that you want to do and call it a day.
You think that's going to be the next step?
I don't think she's going to end up doing it.
I don't either. And I think she's going to use Mendici's as the reason why.
I think the same. She's going to play the, well, it's impacting my marriage.
And
if nobody, I do this.
Yeah. That's where I see it going.
Yeah. Same, you know, and also she just need to say that with her chest as well and stop dragging this on. Cause now it's starting to feel like it's being used for a storyline, because like that you said, too. Adrian, either you're making the decision or you're not. And calling it a day. So, you know, let's move on from this.
Like they should.
Yeah. That's it, y'all. We hope that this is the incentive you need to go ahead and subscribe to the Patreon. Okay, treat yourself, don't cheat yourself.
Do you know they attacked a blind girl on Baddies audition this week? I'm sorry. That was just on my mind and it came out. They tried to jump Helen Keller. It was one girl attacked her from the back, and well, of course she couldn't see her coming, but like it was horrible.
Oh my god, horrible.
I almost turned it off. I'm so ashamed of myself. Stop, Candace, because the longer you let the silence go, the more ashamed I am, because I should be above this. I should not be supporting this with my money, but I am.
Like, baby, she didn't even see them punches coming.
Because they were asking her, because Spice was one of the judges, and Spice, like, asked her, like, so how are you gonna fight? And she's like, well, I don't think anybody's gonna be on that with me, or whatever. And so then she went up to talk to Spice, because she's legally blind, so I'm guessing that means she can see some things, just not everything. And while her back was turned, a girl came from the crowd and punched her in the back of the head.
Oh, my Lord.
Talk about the blind side.
Let's go. Show's over. So,
okay.
It was my fault. This was on me. I'm going to take this one. This was on me. This wasn't even Jeremy's fault. This was on me. Because I should have known where this was going to go. He done called this lady Michael Orr. This is crazy. Well, this is what y'all miss behind the paywall.
Ooh-wee. Oh my god. Let's goodbye, everybody.
Join the Patreon. Get please. More stupidness like this.
Because Jeremy, Jesus Christ.
It was not about them. So that's why.
God bless everyone.
Go to hell.
It's like when your kid get into lotion. You just gotta put that on yourself because you left.
And then they fuck bridge. Around and get to the flower.
Oh Lord, I hate flower. I hate cleaning up flower. you done Candace done triggered me for an old childhood memory of Amari.
Yeah, we just had a flower incident.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, for sure. Jeremy done got in the flower, y'all.
Hey, man.
Niggas is wild.
Say that was too good of a setup for you to let pass by.
I'm saying.
The comedian me understands. I understand. Once it went out there, I knew it could. It was a chance.
I'm just saying.
You and can't he saw that shit coming, unlike her. Okay.
You can't ask LeBron not to do an ad-lib. I'm just saying.
You're absolutely right. That's why I didn't say too much.
One thing we know is she ain't no Stevie Wonder.
Shit, because she did not feel like at all. She was down. Her wig was askew. It was bad.
I gotta go. Bye, y'all. Fucking no.